she is organized and prepared. And I want her to come and just bring the word tonight. I know that God has something for us from His word this evening.
Praise the Lord, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It's always good to feel like to be in the house of the Lord. No other place I'd rather be tonight. Will you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6? We'll be reading tonight. The Ephesians chapter 5, I'm sorry. We'll be reading tonight from verse 6 to 17. Let's read together. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I'm going to speak for the next few moments on the title, Redeeming the Time. Redeeming the Time. Let's pray together tonight. Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you've already done in us today, Lord. Right now, I pray that you'll touch me, Lord Jesus, that you'll touch my lips, and that you will allow the words that proceed out of my mouth tonight not to be mine, but to be yours, Jesus. I pray that you would anoint them. I pray that you will let the words go forth and do exactly what you have sent it forth to do. We give you glory and honor and praise in this house tonight. In the wonderful name of Jesus, you may be seated. On the screen behind me is a picture of a time machine. There are not very many of them in existence because, you see, they take a lot of time and a lot of money to make. Not only that, but in order to understand the time-space continuum as it relates to time travel, you literally have to be intelligent to the point of crazy. They come in different shapes and in different sizes. Scientists have been known to use anything from a car to a phone booth as the outer shell for these time machines. They are not yet available to the public. They have some major flaws to work out, such as keeping you alive or having them work in the first place. But the main purpose of these time machines is to transport humans, animals, or alien life forms back and forth through time. You go to the past, and then you go back to the future. You made a decision that altered the course of your life? Well, hop in, go back, and make it right. You're going to make a bad decision in the future? Well, go to the future and talk to your future self. Sounds good, doesn't it? I'm sorry to tell you tonight, but as wonderful as it may look, as wonderful as it may sound, time machines aren't real. There are not a many things in this life that are as precious as time. We value time. Time is important to us. You see it in the little things. You're late, so you drive a little faster to make up for 5 minutes. You visit someone that you haven't seen in a while, and you get enthralled in conversation, making up for lost time. We often do take time for granted. It is precious to us, but we do often take it for granted as well. We live our lives, we go to bed, and we wake up the next day. And for so many in this world, this cycle is repeated, only to one day wake up and realize, hey, where did time go? It's easy to go a little faster when you're trying to make up for 5 minutes, but what about a year, 5 years, 10, 20 years down the line? How do you recoup those years? You can't. But people try to do it all the time, though. The guy that's going through a midlife crisis, so he begins to do all he can to make him feel like a teenager again. That woman that wakes up one day to see the lines of age on her face, so she buys as many creams, looks for a miracle pill, or even goes under the knife, trying to hide the years that has passed. How about that young man or that young woman that wakes up one day to realize that they are 25 years old and they have not accomplished any of the goals or dreams they once had? So because of time that they've lost, they begin to readjust or downgrade those goals. Time passes whether we want it to or not. It passes whether we are prepared for it or not. Often, we spend the present time that we are given trying to somehow redeem the time that has passed, wasting the moments given to us. But the Apostle Paul challenges us to rescue from loss not the time that has passed, but the time that remains in our lives. Redeem it. Why? Because the dates, the people, the world, the times are wicked. It seeks to rob us of our salvation by allowing us to waste our years, our days, on moments, on things contrary to God's will and purpose for our lives. But time keeps going. We can't stop it. That's life. Every day we lose a little bit of it, and we gain a little bit more. It keeps going, but for each of us, at some point, time stops. Psalms 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Living with the mindset that this is not all there is. This is not my home. This life is not all there is. My time may be up at any moment. Jesus may come back at any moment. Our days are numbered. They are limited. And so we walk circumspectly, wisely through a world that seeks to destroy our eternal destiny by stealing our time. How does it do that? By getting us to focus on anything other than God. Focusing on the words of our culture and not the words of Jesus. Being more preoccupied by the prevailing spirits of this world other than the spirit of the Lord. Getting us to spend more time trying to fulfill our desires than seeking what God's desire may be for our lives. Our time is stolen when we focus on the immediate circumstances of our lives rather than the God of our circumstances. We focus on the temporal rather than the eternal. But 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be careful. Be aware. Make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters, there is an enemy. We have an enemy, and he is a very wicked enemy. He is a deceptive liar whose main purpose is to do everything and anything to get us off course. The first place that he often tries to get us is in our minds. And brothers and sisters, please understand tonight that once he has your mind, your thoughts, your direction, your focus, he has stolen your precious time. Right. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We begin to rescue from loss the time which remains in our lives by first of all moving on from the past. If we allow it to, the past can rob us of our future. We can't do anything about the past. We cannot do anything about the time that's gone. You might not have used the time that you had wisely. You might not have accomplished everything that you wanted to in the past. You might have made some really bad decisions. You might look at yourself right now and see where you are and think, man, I should be really farther along. I thought I would have accomplished more than I have to this moment. We forget it. We can't do anything about it. You can't turn back and make different decisions. You can't go back and do the things you thought that you should have done. So you move on. But you don't just move on. You move on into God's perfect will for your life. Ephesians 5 and 8 says, "For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Don't spend your time wrestling with the past, because you are not your past. You are not what you used to be. Who are you now? You are a child of God. You were once darkness, but now you are light. You were once foolish, but now you are wise. Walk as such. How? By understanding what the will of God is and then wrapping yourself in that. Allowing yourself to be led by His Spirit as you walk out His word every single day. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul is writing a discourse where he says, "Don't you know that the unrighteous is not going to inherit the kingdom of God?" And then he goes on to list a long list of sinful things. He says, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers. But then he stops in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 6. And he says, "And such were some of you." He says, you used to be like this. Your time was consumed by these things, but something happened to you. He says, ye were washed, ye were sanctified, and ye are justified. He says, you're not identified now by who you used to be or what you used to do. Brothers and sisters, you have been washed, you have been sanctified, and you have been justified. So don't waste your time focusing on the life that Jesus rescued you from.
Right.
Instead, let Him find you using the time He's granted you, focusing on what He has rescued you to. We learn from the past. We repent of the past. But then, we move on from the past. People have an affinity for the past. Whether it was good or bad, we do have an affinity for it. We like it. We like to dwell on it. We like to stay in that place. But if we are to redeem the time, we must move on from each moment as it passes. Ecclesiastes 7 and 10 in the New Living says, "Don't long for the good old days. This is not wise."
Right.
Often people find themselves remembering the time that God moved in their lives, the time He healed or the time He provided, the time that that service was popping and the Holy Ghost moved all over you. Yes, we praise you and we praise Him and we thank Him for that. But then we move on from that. But how often do we find ourselves focusing on what He did that we miss the very moment where He wants to do something in your life? You've lost the moment. You've lost the present moment that you've been given, stolen by the past. I think of the Apostle John. He walked with Jesus for the duration of his early ministry. He received his teachings. He saw the miracles. He experienced the highs of the resurrection. He was present on the day of Pentecost as God poured out His Spirit. He watched as Jesus added to the church. He experienced the marvelous things that occurred. He was also there for the persecution as the world seemed to turn against them. He was there during the darkest times as men and women were stoned and hanged and beaten and imprisoned. All because he said that Jesus was alive. History tells us that in all probability his body was dipped in hot oil, a form of torture meant to kill him. Somehow he survived. And now an old man and imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos, he could have looked to the past and say, "Stop remembering the good old days. Remembering the miracles, the resurrection, the day he was filled with the Holy Ghost." And if the situation situation was just too depressing to remember the good old days, he could have stayed stuck remembering the misery. He could have stayed stuck in the pain that he had just been through. But this aged man, nearing the end of his days, in a place that seemed tragically unfair, begin the book of Revelations by saying, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
Yeah.
He was redeeming the time.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19 says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God wants to do something now. God always wants to do something now. And we cannot miss what God wants to do now in our lives by focusing on what he did in the past. He provided in the past, but brothers and sisters, he wants to provide tonight. He healed you in the past, but brothers and sisters, he wants to touch you in a new way now. He filled you with the Holy Ghost 5, 10, 20 years ago, but Jesus wants to fill us in a fresh way every single day. So whether good or bad, we redeem the time by moving on from the past and looking to the future. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes to the church and he says, watch out for evildoers. Watch out for those people who are asking something of you that Jesus really doesn't require. Put your confidence in the Spirit, not in what you are able to do, not in your flesh. Then he goes on to say that if anybody here has reason to boast, if anybody here has a reason to be proud of the things that they have accomplished or who they are in their flesh, I have even more. He goes on to list some of his previous accomplishments. He says, I was circumcised. He says that I am a Hebrew of the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Pharisee persecuting Christians. The law, I kept it to the teeth. But then he's like, scratch that. He said, whatever I had, whoever I was, I am no more. Everything that I was, every badge of honor is absolutely worthless. But why? Why would he want to say something like that? Oh, then goes on to say, because my future matters more than my past. And he says, what I want to do in that future is I want to know Jesus. My future is wrapped up in me trying to grab a hold of, cling to, catch that God that had caught me. He said, I want to apprehend that which has apprehended me. In Philippians 3 and 13, he says, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm forgetting who I was. I'm moving on from my past because my present and my future matters most. My present and my future is consumed by purpose. Brothers and sisters, are you consumed by purpose tonight? But why? What is the end result of this life of purpose? Paul says, if by any means I can attain unto the resurrection of the dead, so that I can be with Jesus. That is the end result of this life of purpose. We redeem the time by moving on from the past and living each day we are given with purpose. Not simply because death may come, but because Jesus is coming. Revelations 22 and 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. It was the mantra of the early church that Jesus was coming. It was the hope and expectations of the saints of old. Jesus is coming and he is coming quickly. They recognized the value of time. With the coming of the Lord before them, the saints of old sang songs with the words, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, by. For Jesus will be calling. There'll be no time to mend. With joy, I will be singing. I held out to the end.
Praise
God. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It should be the hope of every believer that Jesus is coming. It should be on the lips of every believer that Jesus is coming. It should be the thought of every believer, come, Lord Jesus, come. It should be the prayer of every believer, thy kingdom come. It should be the surety of every believer that when my time on earth is up with Jesus, I will be. Brothers and sisters, the coming of the Lord is not a scary thing. It's not something to be dreaded. For the church, the coming of the Lord is a glorious day. For the church, the coming of the Lord should be our expectation, our hope.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
How often do we think about the coming of the Lord? We get up every day, we live our lives, we go to bed. But how often do we really think Jesus is coming back? Jesus is coming back for me. Is today the day you're going to come back? It was the one thing that the early church looked to. Everything that they did, every decision that they made was formed by the knowledge that this life, this earth, this body is not all that there is. There is a great hope that is coming. There is a glorious day that is coming. I am living my life preparing for the day when I will see my King again. My question tonight is not, are you ready? I'm preaching to the church tonight. I'm assuming that you are ready. I'm assuming that you are living with the expectation that Jesus is returning for his church. My question tonight is simply, what are you going to do with the time that you have left to make sure that when he does come, you are still ready? Will you be ready tomorrow? Will you still be ready next year? Will you still be ready in 10 years? A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to visit an elder man who was dying. He was not a Christian and he believed that religion was not for him. While there, I heard people talking about him and the type of person that he was. He was incredibly intelligent. He was an engineer who had built planes and trains for a living. Even in his retirement, he built a plane from scratch as a donation for a museum. He was an incredibly talented man. He wrote numerous books over his lifetime. He was a philanthropist and was involved in the community. But more than anything, people just kept talking about how incredibly intelligent he was. He spent a lifetime building a reputation of being intelligent and kind and accomplished. But he died not knowing Jesus. He spent a lifetime doing all these important things, gathering all these accolades. He died earning the praise and admiration of people. Now his time is lost. He has no more time to redeem. No more past to forget. No more future to look to. And he doesn't know Jesus. He stood in a place where the only person that mattered was Jesus, and he didn't not know who he was. Jesus said, "Your time is up," and he was not prepared. Wasted time. You might say, "What does that have to do with me? I'm a Christian. I'm doing pretty good." You know, it occurred to me this afternoon that the New Testament spends a lot of time on getting the church not only to prepare, but to stay prepared.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Through the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
Paul writes to the Corinthians, and these aren't going to be on the screen. These are last minute stuff. First Corinthians 15. Paul writes to the church, and Paul tells the church, "Hold firmly to the word that I have preached to you. Otherwise, you believe in me." Don't want you to start out believing, start out living for God, and then because, well, the word was choked out by thorns, or the word was choked out by a stony ground, that 10 years down the line, it turns out that you believe my words in vain. It wasn't worth anything because you left it. In Matthew 24, when Jesus is talking about signs that he is coming, he says to them that the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Book of Hebrews 3:12. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." That's why I told you that story. It seems like it doesn't pertain to us, but tonight we're sitting in church on a Sunday night. We're pretty committed, right? In 10 years, if we do not hold fast to the word that Paul preached, that could be us. In 20 years, if we do not hold fast to the word of God, that could be us. We find ourselves in a place where we are not prepared for death or for the coming of the Lord, whichever one happens first. Would you stand with me to pray? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." How we lived for the Lord 10 years ago is not the issue. How we lived for him 1 year ago is not the issue. How we're living for him today is not the issue. And the time that he has given us, tomorrow and the next day and the day after, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Our friends can't save us. Our parents can't save us. Pastor, as good as he is, he might want to save us. He can't save us. He can preach to us, teach us, he can guide us, he can pray for us. Pastor can't save us. Only Jesus can save us. And the point tonight is that we walk every day in submission to that. Will you still be ready? Will you dedicate yourself to living a life of consecration, not just today, but every day? Will you renew your faith, not just today, but every day? What are you going to do with the time that you have left? Are you living with the great expectation that Jesus is coming? If you're here tonight and you know that you are not ready to meet Jesus, can I simply say, forget the past? Your time starts now. Your time starts here. Would you come to this altar tonight? Forget about everybody else. Forget about who is here, who you know, who doesn't know you. But would you come to this altar tonight with a heart of repentance that says, Jesus, I want to be ready. If you are here tonight and you know that you are ready to see Him, you know that you're ready to meet your Master, your Lord, your Savior, Father, if you come to this altar tonight and simply say, Lord, help me to live each day redeeming time. Help me to make the most of every moment that you've given me. Help me to remain steadfast and unmovable every day. Would you make your way to the altar tonight? And whatever situation you find yourself in, would you just find a place at the altar and shut yourself in with Jesus?
Jesus, I'm the same.